Bro.
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 Bro. Daniel Bryan is the 9/11 of WrestleMania 34. It's a joke, right? But out of context, that shit sounds terrible.
Heel Nakamura is best for business. The Nutcracker Prince, or whatever you want to call him. I'm all about it.
That's a t-shirt. Well, he was right about this. Well, of course he was, man. He also predicted three other things to happen with that same prediction. Like,
bro,
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 bro.
Say hello to the bald guy.
And bow down to your king.
This is Drive-By.
Welcome, welcome. I am Mike Shooter Marcus, and with me, my partner in crime, the other half of this delicious duo, King of Nerds, Mike Forrest. Did you miss me, Mike?
Yeah, man. What's up, Breeder?
Hey, you know, just hanging out in the maternity ward, getting ready to record this podcast. As far as I know, I am the second wrestling podcaster to do a podcast from the nursery.
Who was the first?
Good old Sam Roberts.
Oh. Fuck Sam Roberts. I don't really mean that. I like Sam Roberts. He seems like a fine guy.
He does seem like a fine guy. A very odd-looking guy, but a fine guy nonetheless.
Let's set the stage real fast, shall we?
We shall.
For you guys listening, Saturday or Sunday or whenever you download this, throughout your week, it is 6:30 in the effing morning right now on a Friday, because
Friday morning
I have to go to Pittsburgh for a wedding this afternoon, and this was the only time in the day our schedules aligned. I'm running on about 3 hours of sleep right now, so it's gonna be loopy.
Oh yeah, and I have been in a hospital helping the wife pump, helping the wife feed, changing diapers for two children. I'm probably on about the same amount of sleep that the king is over here, so this could get really interesting really quick.
Yeah, I'm fucking psyched. Let's do this.
Let's do this. So did I miss
anything? Oh, by the way, congratulations, man.
Ah, thank you. Thank you, sir.
We haven't got thank to, like, you, sir. Talk voice to voice about this, but congratulations to you.
I appreciate it, sir. It's going to be a fun ride. With,
you got a real fucking stable. You're starting down there now.
Three between the ages of 0 and 3, so it should be interesting.
Three boys. That's a fucking stable. That's a tag team and a singles competitor right there.
You ain't shitting. I'll be their manager. They can be our evolution. I'll
you
be Ric Flair.
Always call the oldest one the singles competitor too. Give him something to feel special about compared to these twins.
Well, and since the younger ones are twins, it makes more sense to be the
tag team anyway. He's the oldest, so he's the singles competitor.
Yep, I like it.
Be like, look, buddy, you might not have a twin, but one day you could very well win the Intercontinental Championship.
And that's right.
And those two assholes are only ever going to be tag team champions.
100%. So I guess
don't call your kids assholes. I guess maybe
I wouldn't. I wouldn't
unless they were like an actual asshole. I feel like you would actually say they. Yeah, he's a fucking asshole.
So I guess we have a lot to talk about, Mike. Anything go on this past weekend?
There was a little like wrestling event over the weekend. I don't know if you heard about it. It was a small little indie show covered by some outlets here and there. Didn't get like huge coverage. I think it was called like SummerSlam or something.
Yeah. That's right. That did happen. Well, as stated, a lot to talk about. So let's not fiddle fuck around.
Yeah,
let's just get right into this, man, because we got a lot of topics to hit, and I think we should just power through all of them and try not to debate them too much. And get on with it.
Won't have any for sake of arguments today.
First and foremost, man, the Becky Lynch heel turn, huh?
Look, I'm going to get that Charlotte and that women's title. I am. Oh, yes, I shall, sir.
Wench, get me a beer.
Yeah, sometimes I'm a dirty pirate again. Sometimes I like steampunk, but sometimes I'm also a Viking. I'm very confused and more interested. Very, very.
Not really. Those aren't varied interests, by the way. Vikings, steampunk, and pirates. That's all, like, basically something that, like, one fucking, like, history loser is into.
Yeah.
Oh, steampunk, it's the height of the technology. It is. Everything runs off the steam engine. It does. I got me a cell phone. It runs off gears and clockwork. It's about 12 feet big, it is.
Just the concept of steampunk is fucking retarded. I'm sorry. Like, I had someone point this out to me a couple weeks ago, how fucking retarded steampunk is, and it really ruined it for me, because I really enjoy the aesthetic of steampunk. But someone was like, what is steampunk? Steampunk is that the height of technology is the steam engine. So everything is based off the steam engine. So what? You got a fucking cell phone and it's pumping steam out of it, running on gears? How does that even work? And I was like, it doesn't. You fucking ruined it for me. Thanks.
That's why it's a thing and not a reality.
Thanks, dickhead. Thanks.
So I guess the big question, kind of the internet's in the uproar over, is the way that it all went down, that Becky Lynch was the one that turned, it wasn't Charlotte, that not only with her turn, but her SmackDown promo, she kind of throws the fans under the bus saying that they were never there for her, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Whoa, she's a heel. Who would have thought?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, people were having an uproar about it, which I will say, I really thought Charlotte should have been the one to turn. And also, it's hard to go against the fans as they're having Becky Lynch do when she probably got one of the loudest pops at SummerSlam when she turned on Charlotte.
Yeah.
That being...
Go ahead, finish.
I just say, that being said, you know, I'm not against it, because I think no matter how you look at it, this is a fresh take on the Becky Lynch character.
Definitely. I don't know. I disagree. I do think Becky Lynch was the way to go. Her character of whatever it is.
Well, I'm Charlotte's best friend, and I just smile a lot. I'm real happy to be here. I ams.
And I make a lot of puns.
Yeah, I make a lot of puns, and I slap the ground, talk about fire. I drink tea sometimes, but it's invisible tea.
Pinky's up.
Yeah, pinky's up. So that shit was dead, man. That was dead in the water. There was nowhere else that could go. She needed this.
She went as far as she could.
Dude, that had hit the ceiling of fucking like a year ago. She hit the ceiling with that. It was done. Now, don't get me wrong, fans still liked it and supported her. She clearly is very over with the crowd, but
right.
She needed something to freshen herself up, and this was the way to go. What she's done is very interesting, especially with the promo. To turn heel and to be cheered for it so massively,
mm-hmm.
It shows that a large segment of the fans were waiting for
just
something.
Just ready for something fresh for her, man.
Something. Yes. She's.
I agree.
She's super over. And I didn't really realize how over she was until she turned heel. Like, people want to see her succeed. She's just one of those. You ever just meet someone in your life where you're just like, man, I just want good things for this dude.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's almost like that's how myself. Well, it's like someone you don't even know, and you're just like, man, I'm really on this dude's side. I don't even know why. But, like, good for him. I just want him to succeed. She's got some kind of power like that over the crowd. Again, I didn't even really know that she had this. I don't think anybody did. Did anybody know she was this over?
I mean, I think it's really started to show the last couple, I don't even want to say weeks, but maybe even the last month. month and a half, it started to really show when she started racking up the wins on SmackDown, where you clearly saw, you know, they were going somewhere with this. You heard a lot of chatter. Big thing that I heard a lot of chatter was that, like, oh my God, she's gonna get a championship match at SummerSlam. She's finally gonna get that title back. And
there
then actually
was a
the
lot
chatter
of buzz.
Turned. The chatter turned to, oh my God, Charlotte's coming back and she's going to get added to this match and Becky Lynch is screwed again, which I think was actually part of the reason they went the way they did with this story.
Well, I think it served two purposes. One, Charlotte gets another number added to the title win notch.
Right.
Right? We get her ever closer to the magical number of 17.
Yep.
And then two, you got to freshen up the Becky character. You got to freshen up the storyline with her and Charlotte. Look, man, no one's friends on wrestling TV without inevitably fucking throwing hands at each other later.
It's just the way it is. It's pro wrestling.
It's just how it is at pro wrestling. Understand that the next time you call someone your best friend, they will be your worst enemy in a year's time.
Yep.
So that really, I think it worked out two ways for them on that. Do I think that it should have been Charlotte? No, not at all. Charlotte is in this weird nebulous place where she can be a heel or she can be a face, and it doesn't really fucking matter. Kind of like her dad was, where it was like Ric Flair, like they're more towards the end of his career, where it was just like, I'm a heel, I'm a face, I'm a heel, I'm a face. All right, cool. End of WCW time. But Becky really needed this. I'm very excited for this, man. I'm very excited. Also, I love the way on SmackDown, this is something I don't think I've ever seen before. Paige called the women's locker room out to separate them.
Yes, yes.
That
I like that too.
Is treating them the same as the men, and I really like that. That was just like when Roman and Brock would throw down and Kurt Angle would come out and be like, start waving everyone out in the men's locker room, have to come out and separate them because the refs and security can't do it. I loved that. It made them feel as important and on par with what goes on in the men's locker room and the men's side of things. So I really enjoyed that also. I'd really hate for us to forget to touch on that.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very, very good point. I like that a lot. And speaking of keeping the women on par with the men, if we look at the Raw side of things, we have Ronda Rousey being crowned the new WWE Raw Women's Champion. And if nothing else, I don't know, where does this bring that title belt? I guess we should start with the match itself. Did you enjoy the match? Because I'm a huge Alexa Bliss mark, we all know that, and I thought it was a really fun way to tell this story in a ring. It was basically a squash, and I'm okay with that.
I loved this match. I really did. It told you exactly what it needs. It was basically a squash. Right on. Alexa Bliss can take a squash from Ronda Rousey and be fine.
It ain't gonna hurt her, especially from Rousey.
Yeah, definitely not. So, this match was great for what it was. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was like a Eddie Guerrero
five-star classic. Right.
This match was great from a storytelling perspective. Bliss was scared. She ran from her. I liked the moment where Bliss was outside the ring and was like contemplating, should I just, like, leave? Should I just leave? And how Ronda was like, oh, dude, do I need to sit down? Like, there was no, like, this was no five-star match, but this was an amazing storytelling match. It was entertainment. This was sports entertainment.
It was an amazing sports entertainment pro wrestling match.
Yes. Exactly.
And I guess, you know, we now come to the point that we have someone that, if this was a shoot, a legit fight, a legit fighting league and division, who probably with the current roster is untouchable, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So, like, in my opinion, you know, you're going to have your Ronda Rousey haters. You're going to have your, she's not one of us, man, those kind of people. But
she is one of us, though.
That's what people don't get. She totally is. This is where she's wanted to be her entire career. And now she's here. And within, what, the first 6 months, she's the main champion, or, you know, one of the main champions for the brand.
She's so good, too.
And she is. And I think seeing her work with, you know, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle, and then Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, and now Alexa Bliss, she can work with anybody. She can work to anyone's style. And it all looks good, man. It's all fun to watch.
It looks believable.
Right, and I think that we have just taken a humongous step in this women's division, from the legitimacy of the contenders in the division to just what you said, being on par with the men, having pull-aparts for feuds and whatnot. I just think it's, we got an all-women pay-per-view coming up, man. We are in an awesome time for pro wrestling and women's wrestling in general.
Oh, definitely. You know, the only real here's like an interesting thing. Ronda Rousey and Charlotte are our champions right now, right?
Right.
That's upper echelon talent.
You're not
holding
kidding.
Those belts right there. Those are competitors that are so good that you look at that roster and it's like, even people like Banks and I don't know. I'd say probably Bayley, Becky,
mm-hmm.
Naomi. Mm-hmm. You look at those who are very good. Very, mm-hmm. very good in their own right. But even like people like that, you look at compared to these two champions and you're just like, wow. They're just not they're just on a different level.
Right.
And I think this is definitely the first time for me in WWE history where you can look at like the women's division as a whole and be like, wow, you've got like women that are on like a whole other level, a whole other stratosphere. They're like, you've got like tiers of talent in this division now. And that's not something you ever had before. You had a couple good ones and then everybody else was shit.
Well, and
now you
have
two amazing ones, like 4 to 6, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then like another couple tiers down, like you've got okay down to shit. You've got like, it runs the gamut from.
And even down to shit are pretty much better than anything we had back in the Diva era.
Yeah, Sarah Logan is better than anyone in the Diva era.
That poor girl, and she just finds your hate every week.
Here's the thing, man. I liked Crazy Mary Dobson, man. I really did. I really enjoyed that character. I hate this fucking Sarah Logan character. And also, it's just like she forgot to fucking wrestle. Like, how to wrestle. Like, once she became WWE talent. Like, I just, my pappy, he was teaching me how to skin goats.
Wasn't it Papa?
I don't. Who cares?
Come on.
Shut up. Dude, I can't believe you remember that. Me and my papa was skinning goats and chucking fish downtown. I don't... What? Everything she says was just nonsensical. It like, had nothing to do. I skinned a cat when I was 14, so I damn sure beat your ass, Charlotte. What? And then she fucking goes out and whiffs on some moves. Anyway. We've got tiers of talent in this division now. So you got everyone from Sarah Logan to Charlotte. And it's amazing. I love it. They've built this division perfectly up to this point in my eyes. I really, at this point right now, you can complain about anything they've done in like the past 4 years building this thing. But right now, everything they've done building up to this moment has led to perfection.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This is really off topic, but isn't Sarah Logan the one that everybody thought was going to be Sister Abigail when they signed her?
Yes.
Nah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, she definitely was. They also thought the same thing about Ruby Riott.
Man, they've kind of both taken completely different paths, I guess.
Yeah, Ruby Riott.
Similar, but, you
Ruby
know.
Riott, by the way, is who I think eventually takes the title off Ronda Rousey.
I think that's a solid call. Where do where do the MMA Four Horsewomen fit into this picture? Is this something, you know, we've talked about it, had it teased to us for so long. Does it ever happen? I mean, you got...
I think eventually. I think probably in the next year it happens.
Yeah, but it has to be a ways away, right?
It's just the next Evolution pay-per-view.
Because none of the other
Baszler will MMA be here women that. Are Baszler up. Will be up soon.
Yeah, I agree.
The other two... Here's the thing. You don't need them on the main roster.
No, I would agree this, with that. I would agree with that, especially in an Evolution style pay-per-view. Yes. Here's the problem, Mike. We'll wrap this segment up with this. When it comes to the Four Horsewomen of MMA versus WWE's Four Horsewomen,
there's no conceivable way that these four women would lose to two professional wrestlers. So, like, what are we gonna do?
There isn't. But where I was going at is, assuming we're still in the same bubble and picture of the story that we've been told for the last, since WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey is clearly a face. The MMA the WWE Four Horsewomen could go either way. I mean, Bayley's never been a heel, but Sasha has, Charlotte has, and now Becky is. But I don't think, to me, Shayna Baszler is someone who should never be a good guy.
Well,
never.
Here's the thing.
I don't know how this fits.
I get what you're getting at. How are they going to align all these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that it necessarily has to be heel versus face. I think that it can be more of a, hey, look, I know we're all kind of like in different places right now, but these bitches been talking shit for like 4 years. And we got
it. It's a valid point.
And no, we're all here now. And I don't care if you're mad at me right now. This shit needs to get handled. Like, this is about the fucking respect. And no. These bitches been talking shit for like 4 years. No. We're friends. No, I don't care. I don't care. No, if you're a heel and I'm a face. And I think that's kind of what it's going to be. It's going to be one of those like... That's just how it's going to be. It's going to be like when Undertaker and Kane would be fucking on opposite sides. But occasionally, you know, like, Taker would need a tag team partner. You know what I'm saying? I think it's going to be one of those. Where, like, DX, like, well, Triple H has been a fucking heel for a while, but, man, he needs a tag partner. So Shawn shows up, now they're both magically faces and crotch chopping. So I think it's going to kind of be one of those. It's going to be one of those wrestling things where we're like, man, we're not mad right now.
See,
like Survivor Series, it's Team SmackDown. I don't give a shit. We all get along because we're Team SmackDown.
See, this is why sometimes I need to bring things to you, because you just remind me, it's pro wrestling, man. Anything goes, and we don't need everything to be perfect. And that's why it's awesome.
We literally are making this up as we go most times. Like, come on. Like, it's
almost
chill. We'll make it work,
time.
Man. We'll make it work. That's how I feel about pro wrestling. Whenever anyone's like, how would we get there? And I'm like, pro wrestling's how we'd get there, guys. Come on.
We just do what we need to do. Guys, when we come back, we're going to talk about the return of a superstar and the triumph of another one. Hang tight. We will be right back.
And now, a reading of the Gummy Bears theme song by Enzo Amore, a.k.a. Real One. The dashing, and daring, courageous, and caring, faithful and friendly. The stories to share. They march through the forest. They sing out in chorus. Marching along as the songs fill the air. The gummy bears, bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure. That's beyond compare. They are the gummy bears. Well, magic and mystery. Hey, this is part of the history. Along with the secret, a gummy bear juice. The legend is growing. They take pride in knowing. They'll do what is right.
with whatever they do. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond compare. They are the gummy bears. They are the gummy bears. How you doing?
Back everyone, and another face that we got the pleasure, Mike, of welcoming back into our little wrestling world at SummerSlam was none other than the Demon King himself, Finn Balor.
Go ahead.
How effective was it to have nothing brought up about this character?
How effective is it if you don't call it a fucking character? And don't make it this dude's alter ego. And
you just let it be
this dope ass entrance he does to hype himself and the fucking crowd up before a big singles match. How effective would it be if we just treated it like they treated it in NXT, where it was highly fucking effective? Well, Mike, very effective, it seems, is the fucking answer.
It sure seems like it.
Fucking effective.
We got Demon Paint Finn Balor coming out. We got the, you know, the demon entrance, a slightly different demon music, and a complete utter squash of Constable Corbin. Not one offensive move by Baron Corbin in this match.
No, it shouldn't have been. This was exactly perfect. This was perfect storytelling. It was like, oh man, okay, you've been a fucking shitty dickhead for weeks now. We've been battling it out. And you know what? I'm tired of this. Why am I doing this when I can just have this sweet entrance and come out here in this different frame of mind and tear this dude a new one? And that's what they did. So, props to you, WWE.
Yep. And here's where it gets funny, though, because, you know, wrestling fans can't be happy about anything for, you know, very long. Or everything for very long.
Anything. Ever.
He comes out as a demon in SummerSlam, wins a squash match, makes the demon version, I'll just say version, of Finn Balor look absolutely unbelievably unstoppable, okay? And then he comes out, rock and roll of Finn Balor, gets his universal title rematch that he's never gotten since being injured and losing it, or being stripped of it, I should say. Against the new champ Roman Reigns, which we will touch on just in a minute, guys. And he loses clean in what was a very, very good match. And less than 24 hours from the return of the demon and fans being head over heels with Finn Balor again, now everybody says he's squashed. Well, he lost clean to Roman, so he's squashed. I'm going to bring this up to everybody.
He lost clean
without the demon paint in a very highly competitive match against a guy who just beat freaking Brock Lesnar. This wasn't choke slam by Kane on the ramp territory here.
He lost a 30-minute one-on-one match against the top guy in the company cleanly. Chill the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, that's like saying Randy Savage was squashed when he lost to Hogan.
Right. It's just absurd. It's crazy
against the top guy in the company.
If nothing else, it's a shining example of how just... I don't know what the right word. I don't want to say out of touch, but just how... wrestling fans just take things to such a different level sometimes that it just doesn't even, there's a point where you're like, this doesn't even make sense anymore, guys. Like, calm down, chill out. There's a bigger picture here, and you really just need to look at everything rather than look at the big picture instead of just the moment in time. And you can't forget what happened on Sunday night just because what happened on Monday didn't go your way.
No, not at all. And they just, this is a real dumb thing to complain about too.
It really is.
It really, really fucking is. Like, I get it, man, that you hate Roman, Finn's your guy, but like, motherfucker lost clean to the, I can't stress this enough. Dude lost clean to the tippity top motherfucker on either roster. There ain't no shame in
the
that
face
game.
Of the company.
The face
regardless
of the company.
Of whether you like it, the
yes,
face of the company.
Regardless of whether you like it or not, the face of the company. Oh, I bet you got real mad when The Rock lost to Austin, too. Like, get the fuck out, man. Like, you just understand, like, your guy, just because he's your guy doesn't make him untouchable. The face of the fucking company is untouchable. Seth Rollins isn't even untouchable.
Nope.
All these people literally, if you are not already a fucking wrestling icon, you cannot beat Roman Reigns. Straight up. Stone Cold could come back tomorrow. He'd get a fucking win over Roman Reigns. Kenny Omega could show up tomorrow. Guess who's not getting a fucking win over Roman Reigns? Kenny Omega.
Yep. And boy, that would open up a
you
whole
know,
can of
you
worms,
You want to know how
it?
Kenny Omega's going to beat Roman fucking Reigns? Kenny Omega's going to go get Kenny Omega from the future, who's already a fucking WWE Hall of Famer, bring him back in time, and that's going to be the only fucking way that you're going to be able to beat him, because you have to be an established fucking iconic superstar already to be able to beat Roman. Like, it's just how it is. I'm sorry. No one is going to fucking... I don't care if you, Kazuchika Okada himself showed up on Raw Monday. No, fuck that. Tomorrow, we'll say tomorrow for you people listening at home, a very special Sunday Raw just for the debut of Okada. And he came out and challenged Roman Reigns on this very special Sunday edition of Raw that was created only for the debut of Kazuchika Okada. He would still fucking lose to Roman Reigns on
his
own
episode.
Fucking special episode of Raw that debuts on Sunday for the debut of Kazuchika Okada. He would still fucking lose on his very own episode of Raw.
You know why? Because Raw stands for
Roman
always
wins.
Which is actually funny because the last few times that Roman Reigns fought Brock Lesnar, he didn't. Because Roman, in truth, does not always win.
No, he got shithoused by fucking Brock every time they ever fought.
Except this last time, because we now have a brand new Universal Champion in the one and only, sorry Ricochet, Roman Reigns. And you know, we've talked, we're not Roman haters, we're good with Roman Reigns, we were just...
Yeah, I'm good. I'm 100% ambivalent of Roman Reigns, right? You know, like, I'm like, Roman's the champion, okay. Or, you know what? Someone else could have beat fucking Brock Lesnar, and I'd have been like, all right, let's do this. Like, there's at least 25 other people I care about more than him on both rosters, probably combined. I would say 25 people. But, like, I'm still like, oh, that's it. Roman's champion. I bet this will be good. I don't really care what they do with him one way or the other, but, like, I'm like, good for him. All right. I'm always, like, mildly supportive of him.
Well, I mean, we don't have to talk a lot about the actual SummerSlam match. For me, the bigger story is the fallout, not only of him winning this title, but then what happened on Monday, man? And that is a Shield reunion.
I'm not calling this a reunion. I just want you to know.
Okay.
It's not, man. They were together. Dean Ambrose got hurt. So they had to do other things. Dean Ambrose came back.
Now they're back.
Dean Ambrose came back and they're just picking up where they left off. It's not a reunion. It's a continuation of the first reunion.
Which I think is actually the best way to look at it, because you're right. Like, although the quote-unquote original reunion never really got off the ground, we had illness and we had injury, it seemed to be snake-bitten from the get-go. Instead of building back up to this, hey, we got to earn each other's trust again and get back together and show everyone that we're friends, they just were like, hey, you guys forgot, didn't you?
Yeah, all the guys are still faces. Let's do this.
You didn't think? Like, you guys just thought we just went away? Uh-uh. We're here to kick everybody's ass. And, hey, man, I'm totally down with it. I was 100% not expecting it at all. You know, a lot of times you can sit there as a fan with 30-plus years under your belt watching the show. You can sometimes pick things apart. And, you know, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you can clearly see where they're going. This one just completely took me by surprise. I don't know about you, man.
This is awesome. This was fucking awesome, wasn't it?
It was one of the best endings to Raw I've seen in probably 5 years.
This was like one of those moments in wrestling where you're like, they fucking nailed it.
Yep. And we don't give them enough credit for that, man.
We don't. This was...
I mean, we do, but other people
and
don't.
It was so, like, fucking in your face obvious, too. Where it's like, how will Roman ever keep this title from Braun Strowman, and then you hear it, Sierra Hotel, and you're like, oh, duh, yes.
It all makes sense by the H.
He's part of the baddest stable of the last decade and a half. Fuck me. I forgot that they do things like this.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And something else that I like, Mike, they come down, they lay waste to Strowman, yet Strowman still looks strong, because right when they go for the first attempt at the triple powerbomb, he takes him out. He takes three men out enough to, you know, save himself for a minute. I mean, eventually he does succumb to the triple powerbomb, whatever.
It even looked like after the powerbomb, like he was just kind of like, I could get up right now. But I'm not going to. Like, did you see?
Like, he was like literally,
like legit.
Yeah.
Like, he laid there. He was laid out for a hot minute, but then like, he was propped up on an elbow, looking at them.
Yep.
Before they had even walked away, he was more like, he was just like, it's cool. I'm gonna bide my time. All right. I see where we're at here.
I just gotta put a plan together now.
Exactly. So I like that too. It was more like, he sold it, but he also was like, I'm still this insane fucking physical specimen.
And he still has the case. We didn't lose a cash in on this, so I think all is right with the world right now. Hey, literally, this last segment, Mike, we got the return of Finn Balor's demon, we got the return of the Shield, and we have a briefcase that's been teased twice now without Braun actually losing it and still, you know, not being the champ. I'm okay with all of this.
Are you people not freaking... Seth, and let's throw in, Seth Rollins is the Intercontinental Champion again for a second time.
By the way.
So, who is not... Dolph Ziggler fans. There's a very large segment of the internet wrestling community that is probably very upset Seth Rollins has the Intercontinental title. So they're probably not happy.
Yeah, well, we still got Dolph and Drew together. As far as we know, we still have a story there. I'm sure that that's going to continue with the Shield being involved in that as well. And that, again, is more exciting things to think about, man.
I'll be honest with you. I'm very tired of these Dolph Ziggler marks. Like, just...
Hey, Dolph is fantastic in his own right. I love Dolph Ziggler, okay?
I'm tired of these guys that are just like, just put the belt on Ziggler. This is not fucking happening, guys, okay? It's just not right. I would love it. But it's just not fucking happening. Like, we just need...
No.
We just need... If he didn't beat Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam for it that year, he wasn't fucking... There ain't no one on the fucking roster that's going to hold that title that he can conceivably beat.
Yep.
So just... We just need to move on from it, guys. Let's just enjoy him for what he is. And, you know, watch his comedy stuff. He's a funny dude. Follow him on Twitter. Just enjoy him for what he is. Just appreciate it. Just appreciate the magic of Dolph Ziggler. And don't just get on these shit kicks about he needs the belt. Yeah, fuck, sure, he does. But he's not getting it. So let's just enjoy it. Let's just enjoy it while we have it.
Enjoy what we have while we have it, guys. And what we have on the SmackDown side and the WWE Championship side. You see that segue I just worked in there, man?
I tell you, man, you're the master of the segue. I say it every week.
It's tough being this good, but sometimes, you know, I just have to bury Horowitz myself and give myself props. Anyway.
Dude, you should have gone with DDP and self-high-fived.
Well, you know. Old school, man. Old school. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. The feud we all wanted, but with this weird family angle that kind of came out of nowhere, what, 2 weeks before SummerSlam? Maybe 3 weeks, but more 2 weeks, I think, if I'm getting my timelines correct. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't know why we needed this angle. I didn't know where it was really coming from. That being said, the combination of the SummerSlam match, of AJ's wife and daughter being at ringside at SummerSlam, and the way that Joe and AJ are going through with this angle, it's spectacular.
This is some real, like, back-in-the-day shit, isn't it?
It really is. This, like, makes me think of, like, what, Jake the Snake Roberts and Ravishing Rick Rude?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
He was straight, like, your kids could call me daddy. I was like, oh, shit. That is like something Scott Steiner would have said to someone.
We went there, did we?
Yeah, we're talking like that. I was like, I was immediately hooked. I was like, oh, shit, he just said that. Oh, it was like when you were in school and someone would be like, crack a fucking mom joke. And this is back in like, look, like, all right, everybody says your mom now at the end of the your mom. That's what she said. Shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, when these mom jokes things started back in like 1991, like, you were obligated to fist fight someone. Like, obligated. Someone cracked a your mom joke, like, you were obligated to fist fight them. And it was just like someone would say that shit in class, and everybody would be like, oh, they're going to fight now? Yes. That's how I felt when he said it. I was just like, oh, they're going to fight now? Yeah.
And luckily, they both work for a fighting promotion, quote-unquote, yes. And we're going to get more of these.
Like, there are certain things in wrestling that if it's said, it's like, you know, this feud just got escalated to the next level. And anytime a motherfucker's kids get brought into it, like Ray and Eddie, like, it's right, immediately right. That shit has escalated to the next level.
Oh, and here's the thing. You know, I'm a huge, huge fan of AJ Styles. He's one of my absolute favorite wrestlers right now. Samoa Joe, I was, you know, before his time in WWE, I knew what he did, but I was not, like, a huge follower of his. I still wouldn't call myself a huge Joe fan. That being said, I've never watched a Joe match that I haven't liked. And these two in the ring, I mean, SummerSlam was fantastic. Their match was great. The story they told was amazing. Bringing this family angle into it is making it even better. And like I said, I wasn't sure at first, but now I see where they're going with it, at least how they're approaching it, and I love what they're doing. I hope these guys feud for... I'd be good if they feuded up to Mania, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, if they could keep it like this. Up until Mania? Sure. Sure. And, realistically, they'll probably get to Rumble.
That's what I was thinking. Rumble's probably the more realistic part of this, but
I think AJ has the title after that, so.
You think it goes to Joe?
No, I don't. I think somehow they still work this Daniel Bryan Miz thing for Mania.
Well, and that's a whole other part of this equation. You know, I don't know if you saw, but the Super Show in Australia, Daniel Bryan and this kind of gets into our last segment here, but that's okay. We'll still circle back to it. Daniel Bryan and Miz are fighting in the Australian show for a number one contender spot. This is just... We have sat here in our private chats. We have sat here on the phone after recording and even on recording talking and fantasy booking this Daniel Bryan Miz thing. It almost sounds like they're like listening to us. It's great. So we'll see. We'll touch on that here in a minute. But I guess we'll just wrap this up. Do you think Joe does ever get this WWE championship? Like we can say maybe it ends at Rumble and AJ isn't the champ then, but is Joe the champ in between? You know what I mean? Because I think he has a... Like, at first I was like, I don't know. But, man, the way they're building him up, if we were to flop this title, again, we got the game coming out in October. I don't think AJ's not the champ when the game comes out. That being said, I'm not sure the timing of Hell in a Cell and the release of the game. It wouldn't surprise me to see a title change right after where Joe gets it. And then AJ could get it back if that's what they wanted to do. And as much as I'm a Styles fan, man, I just think, and I hate to throw this word around, you hate it too, but man, I think Joe definitely deserves to have that strap on his shoulder for at least a span between pay-per-views.
If you are a listener to this show regularly, then you know my feelings on
the deserve.
So I just want to state that so that everyone understands when I say how I feel when I say Joe probably deserves this title. Probably. If there's someone on the SmackDown roster that you could say deserves the title, more than Nakamura, who I still don't think deserves the title, I would like to see him with the title. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he deserves it. Joe probably deserves this title. So, with that said, just because I think he deserves it doesn't mean he gets it. Do I think
if everyone we thought deserved it, got, yeah, we'd have a yeah, whole different, I mean, list of champions at
right,
this point.
You know, it's just your like and love and opinion doesn't mean shit to Vince McMahon. I think he probably eventually gets his hands on that title. I don't think he does now. I think they let AJ have an unbroken run.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Although, like I said, it wouldn't shock me to see it flip
not
once or twice with these two.
Not at all.
And I would actually, I'm not a fan of flip-flopping belts. You know that. I don't think you are either.
Nope.
However, this is one case right now. AJ's had such a successful, we're closing in on 300-day title run, right?
Yeah, it's getting there.
I mean,
longest reigning SmackDown champion of all time.
It's certainly not going to kill him to flip this belt once or twice with Joe. It's not going to kill the belt at all. I think AJ, since this Jinder Mahal debacle, has really brought this title up to a whole different level at this point, in my opinion. It's definitely, whether Vince wants to say it or not, or see it or not, it's more coveted than the Universal, for sure. You know, I think the only belt that's even close to it right now is the IC, and that's just because of what Seth and Dolph and The Miz have been doing with that title. So, I mean, it's the premier championship in the company, in my opinion, and it's, you know, got kind of drugged down into the mud with Jinder, and now it's back to its glory, and I don't think a flip-flop hurts it right now because AJ's just done so much with it.
I couldn't agree more. I really don't think a flip-flop would do damage, especially within the context of the storyline.
Right.
A flip-flop wouldn't
hurt
it.
And the people involved.
And the people involved. And you're getting the belt on Joe.
Yep. Yep, which would make a lot of fans happy, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I think I don't think a flip-flop would be that bad in this scenario at all.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that.
Yep, it's definitely interesting, and I cannot wait to see where this goes. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to follow up with a couple fun things, just a couple, I don't even know if I want to say there who says something dumb, just a couple fun little stories that I want to get off my chest and get a little bit of conversation going with the king here. Hang tight, we will be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Man, we'll just roll back into this whole Daniel Bryan Miz thing, because we just touched on it last segment. Something that I find hilarious, Mike, and maybe I've missed it, you know, part of what I want to do for this show, what we want to do for this show, is bring the social media aspect, not so much the dirt sheets, but the dirt sheets get quoted on social media consistently and constantly, wouldn't you say?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say.
You know, our boy Mr. Meltzer there, commonly quoted and misquoted, I think is fair to say.
I'd say he's misquoted as much as he's quoted.
Yeah, or he just says stupid things. Well, we might touch on that briefly, too. But all that being said, you know, I have sat here on this show with you, Mike, for, well, let's see, at least 4 months since March, before March, since Raw 25, when we got that intense kind of stare down between The Miz and Daniel Bryan. You remember that? When they introduced the general managers for the shows and, you know, Miz walks by Daniel Bryan and they get that look like there's something there, that they know something we don't know.
Yeah.
And you recall when Daniel Bryan got cleared and we talked about how this is a potential match and it's going to be awesome. And then as time rolled on and we got to WrestleMania and time kept rolling on and they weren't doing anything and everybody wanted to cry that Daniel Bryan's leaving. Daniel Bryan's going to be it all in. Daniel Bryan's going to be in New Japan. Daniel Bryan's going to carelessly throw his head at the mat because needy wrestling fans want it.
Yeah, I recall that.
And do you recall how you and I sat here and said, that's the dumbest thing we've ever heard, and he's clearly going to resign, he's not going to lose 3 paychecks because that would be dumb, and by the way, this is the safest place for him to be?
I definitely remember that.
Do you recall how all this time we've talked about this, Uncle Dave's been saying, I think he's going to sign, but I'm not 100%, keep saying, you know, because you got to at least cloud the water, so no matter what, you look like you're right, correct?
Correct.
Yet, I've not seen one thing yet that has said Daniel Bryan has signed. I've been saying this dude's had a contract signed for months now. We got the video game that's focusing on a showcase mode, including Daniel Bryan. And now we have matches announced for October. 2. 1 in Australia. 1 in the Hell in a Cell, or at the Hell in a Cell. And Daniel Bryan's contract, if you believe what the dirt sheets have said, is up in September, man. So, to steal a phrase from a former wrestler slash superhero, what's up with that?
Oh, yeah. It's almost like he already had a contract signed.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's like he's doing all these things that you would only do for someone that was secured under contract.
Or you at least have a verbal, like, ironclad verbal agreement that it's happening, right?
You know he's not going to show up in another promotion when this fucking game comes out.
Right, like, and as much as I can't stand this dude, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com.
Oh my god, I hate Sean Ross Sapp.
if you wanted to say who is the most, like, he is the hipster of the wrestling fan, if that makes sense. The hipster of the internet wrestling.
Fucking ass, like, clown.
But if, and I couldn't agree more with you, but what I have to say is I saw him report about a month and a half ago that one of his sources told him Daniel Bryan resigned. It went all over social media, blah, blah, blah. And then Uncle Dave said, well, I haven't heard that. So everyone said, well, it's not true. And Sean Sapp basically said, look, this is a source I trust. I'll leave it at that. He's never been wrong before, blah, blah, blah. And I got to give him credit because I think his source was right. I mean, it makes the most sense to me, right?
Yeah, it makes the most sense to me. Also, why is any... I mean, I'm gonna use the word credible here. But I'm going to use it, like, loosely, right? So, there are a lot of dirt sheets. There are a few that, for the purpose of this, we'll call credible. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are... right. Occasionally. You know? And they do have sources. I guess what I'm trying to get at is these, like, if you're in this, like, tier of credibility, the fuck makes you any better than anyone else? Like, your sources, like, why are your sources any more or any better than, like, why, because it's Uncle Dave, why are his sources? I mean, like, first of all, like, Uncle Dave also, like, I find his credibility on WWE lacking. The dude talks so much shit, and he's generally wrong about WWE. Like, let's be honest. Like, most of the people he knows are in New Japan and Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just don't understand, like, what in people's minds. Like, these are all people that lie about wrestling online for money at the end of the day.
Right.
So it blows my mind that there are people that are like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Well, liar, you know, number one said liar number two is wrong on this. Well,
but Uncle Dave is always right, especially when he's throwing shade at a 20-something-year-old female for being a lighter in her NXT career and looking better when she was lighter, right?
I mean, he's always pretty... openly said that he prefers
men.
prefers when women don't get enhanced, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I don't think that's how Peyton Royce took it.
Well, no, I'm sure. Well, that's not how anyone took it, because if you read what he said, it's real fucking, like, that's not how you would take it. So, like, so hold on, let me finish. He's always been, like, real open about that. But with that said, you have no fucking right or place to comment on a woman's fucking looks. None. Well, you have, like, you know, zero
for
fucking,
that matter.
Even if you're saying something like, and I get in his mind, he probably thought he was saying something, like, nice, I guess, or, like,
it's probably what he thought because he's
complimentary.
Out of touch.
Yeah, because he's fucking way out of touch. Like, I can see where in his mind he thought he was saying something like, oh, I'm being a nice guy and saying that women don't need to, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, you were already beautiful. But it didn't come off that way. And even if it did, it comes off in that way that, like, a pathetic dude at a bar is like, you don't need all that makeup. You're gorgeous.
Right.
You're gorgeous already.
Right.
Like, just shut up, man. Like,
look, if he didn't if this dude didn't have a history of just being a misogynistic piece of shit.
Yeah, there is also that.
You know, calling Sable at, you know, 31 a washed-up stripper that looks like she's 42. Like,
let's also not forget, he was saying that about Sable in 1997.
Right.
The, like...
Pinnacle of Sable.
Like, that is Sable at her most Sable.
Yep.
That's insane. Yeah. He said that to pretty a 31-year-old woman insane. that was gorgeous. I'm not even, like, a Sable fan. I was a Sunny guy.
Same. Boy, that tumble.
But, yeah, man, boy, how the mighty have fallen. I guess the difference for me was Sable always seemed like kind of a prude, but Sunny was the type of chick that gives you roadhead.
So clearly we were right.
I feel like that's an apt description. I feel like me at like 14, 15, I didn't really understand that. I just got that vibe, you know, where I was like, I don't know, this one seems like she'd be cooler. But like now, me as an adult, I'm like,
you realize why.
Sable does missionary and Sunny will blow you in the McDonald's drive-thru.
Did we just go into Dave Meltzer territory?
No, not at all, because you can talk about Sunny like that. Sunny legitimately will blow you in a McDonald's drive-thru as long as you get her a McDouble.
Jesus.
P.S. Just order a single and tell her it's a McDouble. you just show up with the burger, she can't say no. You have no right. Okay, look, regardless of what we just said, which obviously was done in fucking comedy. Let's not get butthurt. Sable's a beautiful woman, I'm sure. She is a sexual dynamo. She will also give roadhead, I'm sure. fuck, she's Brock Lesnar's wife.
She is. This thing will never meet him.
Watch what the fuck I'm saying. Good God. Man, that's crazy. That's crazy. It'd do a break me if he just heard what I said. That's all certainly. Right. He's fucking rich. I'd heal. I'd sue him.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? Bring it on, Brock.
Yeah, bring it the fuck on, dude. I'll take an ass whooping. You and your goddamn big headed kids would be out there fucking plowing the fields for me. I'll own that fucking farm you live on in Saskatchewan. I will never even go there either. I'm just gonna make you plow the fields. So anyway, regardless of what was just said, which again was all in comedy. Except for the part about Sonny. I'm pretty sure, will blow you for fast food. You have no fucking right to comment on a woman's looks. Like, none. Like, zero right at all. There is nothing about you fucking... First of all, no one really has the fucking right to publicly, like, call out a woman's looks. But, like, you, Dave Meltzer, you especially don't have the fucking right, man. You are a wrestling dirt sheet writer. You are a journalist of the lowest order. I don't give a fuck. I love wrestling. I have grew up on dirt sheets. But a wrestling dirt sheet writer is the lowest fucking level of journalism that exists in the fucking world. Like, tabloid reporters are better credentialed to me than these motherfuckers. And you have no fucking right to comment on this woman's looks. A beautiful fucking woman. By any fucking means, by any definition of the word beautiful, this woman is fucking beautiful. Beautiful. And you're gonna have the fucking audacity to comment on her fucking looks. Like, get the fuck out, dude. Like, just shut up.
Not only that, but like, you're known for your subjective 5-star ratings. Like, match quality has nothing to do with how somebody looks physically. It's about what you do in the ring. So stick to rating your matches and don't rate people's looks and personalities, to be quite honest with you. Just stick to that, you goof.
And it was so like, like, just like out of the blue.
Right.
It's just like out of the blue, unprompted. It's just like this thought came into his head and he was like, I'm going to put this out there. Like, he ran that through no filter. Like, no one obviously None was in the room with him. Like, obviously no one was in the room with him. Because I know plenty of times I've been in the room with people where they've said something and we've, like, talked about it. And then they're like, I'm going to tweet that. And I've been like, nah, man, don't tweet that. So clearly no one was in the room with him having this conversation. This is just a thought he had. And he was probably watching, like, an old NXT or something and was like, huh. Here's the thought. Let's see what everyone else thinks. And everyone else thought you should shut your mouth, whether you agree or disagree.
Yeah.
I personally don't care either way. She's fucking beautiful before. She's beautiful now. Right on, right on. Dave Meltzer wishes he could.
Yep.
Or maybe he doesn't. Dude might be into dudes. Which, again, might. That's perfectly fine, man. Just don't bash women to, like, hide your latent homosexuality.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, clearly this dude wants to blow Kenny Omega.
I mean, clearly. Right? We're not even questioning that,
no,
are we?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Well, the only other thing, we'll just keep it real quick. Hey, Stone Cold Steve Austin got mistaked for Bill Goldberg at a Denny's, right?
Reasonable.
We talked about it.
Super Cash fan, that's reasonable. I could see someone being like, oh shit, it's, black tights, bald head, Bill Goldberg.
Goatee, yeah,
Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
I could see that. Goldberg, if you watch wrestling much in the 90s and haven't watched it since, that's Bill Goldberg. Yeah.
Goldberg did try to pretty much steal the entire Stone Cold look and gimmick without doing it nearly to the level that Stone Cold did, but
Weren't dumb.
No, they weren't dumb. I do think it's hilarious because I think even most casual fans wouldn't make that mistake, but, you know, that being said, I'd love to see something come out of it. I know Austin's retired and Goldberg's semi-retired, but there's a story there that could be told, right?
I want to see them have a beer drinking competition.
No, I'm good with that, man. I know who would win, that's for damn sure.
You think you know?
Oh, I know.
You think?
Oh, I know.
You think?
You can't have your own beer and not be a good beer drinker,
look,
right?
Mike, the guy's fucking gimmick was drinking beer. He has his own beer. He's winning a beer drinking competition. What you don't know is that Goldberg is a low-key alcoholic and drinks two cases of Busch Light a day. He doesn't call it Busch Light, bub. He calls it Busch Light. Drinking that Busch Light. Give me two of them fucking, two cases of that fucking Busch Light. Man.
Yeah. We may never know, Mike. Unfortunately, we may never know. That about wraps everything up for me. I gotta get back to taking care of some babies. How about you?
You know. Guys, don't forget to check out Shoot at the Mothership. Comprehensive review of WCW Saturday Night here on TBS, 6:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, baby. A feature on our own Shooter and its sister show, Feeling the Burn. Comprehensive dissection. By the way, man, how good is that? A comprehensive dissection.
It's a solid title.
A comprehensive dissection. I'm really proud of myself on that. A comprehensive dissection of WWF/East Sunday Night Heat featuring the Near Fall Network's own Shooter. These are coming soon. And, oh, God, there was something else. Oh, shit, did you see Farrah Abraham signed up for celebrity boxing?
Yeah, I can't wait to watch her get her
she's
head
fighting one
in,
of the girls from Flavor of Love. So, you know, she's fighting that girl from Flavor of Love that dated Shaq for a while. So, you know that bitch could take a hammering.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sure, she could dish one back out. So, yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to ask you about. If it's on pay-per-view, I'm getting it and I'm having a party. I've been waiting years to pay money to watch this girl get her fucking head beat in. That's all I have, man. Have fun feeding babies today, helping the wife pump, chasing the oldest around.
Oh, you know it.
You should just hold him up and, like, show him the twins and be like, one day You shall be the Hounds of Justice.
I like it.
You'll be the new Hounds of Justice. And I will usher I will usher you into WWE. You've got to teach him the hand, like the shield fist bump thing.
Oh yeah,
like
totally.
There's just so many things you can do here. I'm so like I don't want kids at all. But the idea of having like a stable of young boys to like cultivate. I really find like I'm really kind of jealous of it. I'm like, God damn, like that sounded way creepier now that I've
said it out loud
and heard myself say a stable
we knew what voice you meant. To cultivate. It's all good.
But like you got like three little dudes that you can like literally make your own like little like badass stable. I'm pretty jealous That's right. of that. Not like it's so coming. Jealous that I'm gonna actually have kids, but I'll be able to watch you do it, so that'll be cool. Anyway,
watch out.
Congratulations
18 years from now,
to you and
18
the wife.
Years from now, it's all downhill. Look out. They're coming.
Dude, that's a power trio.
It really is.
You got to figure out which one can sing the best and then pick instruments based on that. Because obviously the best singer, you want to be like the bassist or guitar player. But you got a solid power trio. Fuck that. You're already a drummer, man. Two of them play
That's
guitar.
Right.
One of them plays bass. It's a family band. Don't do that to them, man. Let one of them be the drummer. Because you don't know as the drummer. You have no clue how fucking hard it is to actually find a drummer. So set them up with their own drummer. You know. Like what's going to happen when they're going to want to go on tour and you're 60?
That's a valid point you make, sir. Valid point.
Yeah.
I will be too old for that shit.
Make your favorite the drama.
You don't have favorites, Mike. Come on.
Yes, you do. Shut up.
All right, guys.
Well, have fun.
My favorite thing is to talk about wrestling with you, sir, but we've done about all we can do this week. Guys,
yeah.
I say it every week, and I know Mike screwed it up last week, but I'll get it right. It's been real. It's been fun. We will catch you next time.
We love you guys. You're beautiful. Have a great day.
Thanks for nothing. You're dismissed. Bye-bye.